Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah Most High, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, with His special grace and favor on us, in this month of Rajab, He has granted to us this month of Rajab. This is included in those months which are called the holy months, the sacred months, the respected months, the dignified months, from the 12 months. And there's another virtue of this month, that when this month started, the Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Holy Prophet, in this month, Rajab, in the beginning of it, when he saw the moon, he recited a dua, a prayer. And that dua is a unique dua. Allahumma barik lana Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balligh ila Ramadan. The beginning of this month was Rajab, but included two other months were also great months, were included in this dua. In this, the pious predecessors have stated that the real objective of this dua was Ramadan itself. Ramadan itself. And for that month, in reality, the hint we get in this dua is that month is so great and brilliant, it's so fantastic, the month of Ramadan, it's so excellent that no person should be lazy, unaware. Rather, 3 months in advance, start preparing for Ramadan. And for that, the individual, so that when he reaches that, no moment passes, you understand? No moment passes in Ramadan that is wasted. Because all year long, we have practiced wasting time. We're champions of wasting time. So that month as well, Ramadan, in the same way, if we're negligent, we waste it. So understand, consider then that person has wasted his life. Such a great favor of Allah on us is Ramadan, that Allah has granted to the ummah. And through that month, the insan, the human being, beautiful opportunity and chance that he can put himself together and prepare for the hereafter. So for this reason, for the sake of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala in these 2 months beforehand, Allah has given us the dua, the prayer for blessings. So Rajab, this month itself, alhamdulillah, another way which is very important is that the dua of the Prophet ﷺ was also included in this month. So the pious predecessors have stated that this sunnah should be implemented in such a way that we have forgotten that we didn't do the dua for Ramadan. But right now, in Rajab, you can recite this dua. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And obviously, when the Prophet ﷺ has recited this dua for barakah, for blessings, then to recite this dua is lazim for us to attain the blessings. And this month, then we'll be filled with blessings, and the preparation of Ramadan will also be attained. The third thing in this is, in Rajab, which is very important. There's a difference of opinion in this, in the dates, in history. But at least in this month, there was an incident that occurred, which was presented. And the example of this, you don't see anything comparable in history. And it's an incomparable example, an incomparable incident, event, that no one can imagine the greatness of this event that took place. 124,000, close to that, prophets and messengers came to this earth. But nobody attained this honor, that in which way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his Habib, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he invited his Habib and he took him through the journey through the heavens, and then Allah stood him in front of himself, brought him to in front of himself and stood the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. This example never happened before, prior, nor can it happen again, nor will it happen again. In one night, the master of the two worlds, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this great honor, dignity. The whole universe was frozen at that time, stopped. Stars, moon, earth, cycles of nature stopped. People didn't know. Everything stopped. And Allah proved to the whole universe, the heavens were decorated, the malaika were waiting, the angels were waiting, the prophets were alert. In the heavens, unique scenery in the heavens. Allah Ta'ala prepared. This is that event. And Allah Ta'ala prepared, that journey started, went to Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem. Then all the prophets would ever come, Allah Ta'ala presented them there in that plain. All the prophets, and they were waiting, the prophets, the Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, because this is the title, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Imamul Anbiya, this title is from then, from this event. He is the head of the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then, all of the Anbiya, the prophets, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was presented in front of them, that he was the Imam, and the other prophets were the Muqtadis, praying behind him. So this is shows, proves, that this is the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tawrat, Injil, Zabur, all the previous scriptures, they were put behind history. Now whose law will run? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's law and way will continue. So he was the Imam sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the journey continued. It started. One heaven, second heaven, third heaven, fourth heaven. On every heaven, a unique scene took place. Unique meetings took place. Unique incidents took place, and the whole universe was rejoicing to see, waiting to see the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if Allah is waiting, if Allah is mushtaq, waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then imagine how the rest of the universe is waiting to see him. If Allah himself is waiting, in other words, all of the incidents, events and scenes took place, and then maqam came, Sidrat al-Muntaha, which is called, that was the limit. That was the limit. All the malaika, the angels, the head of the angels was traveling, because obviously he was accompanying the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibril, angel. And this, nobody knows in the universe this, what happened, until we were told that this occurred. And with full protocol, full respect, when they arrived to Sidratul Muntaha, then Jibril alaihi salam, he moved a bit. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what's the wrong? He said, that's it, I can't go beyond here, O master. Now it's just you, go further, and Allah knows best, that I cannot move 1 centimeter beyond here, I'll burn. Imagine how great that place is, that where all of the movement of the universe stops there, the throne is swaying in the hadith. The throne is swaying, the unique scene at that time. When the Imamul Anbiya, the Holy Prophet, without any hesitation, imagine the power and authority Allah has given to him at that time. Imagine his status. Imagine his connection between Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu. Imagine the relationship, the nearness, that our minds, our brains cannot understand the Holy Prophet sallallahu, his uruj, his status. And he continued further ahead. from Sidratul Muntaha, and he carried on going, carried on going, carried on going. All the veils were removed that were in between. All the veils, all the barriers, 70,000 veils of nur dropped on that way. 70,000. This is the Prophet ﷺ in whose ummah we are sat today. We are monkeys. This is the status of our Nabi ﷺ, and we are like animals. All the veils drop, they drop. And then you see, imagine the scene. Imagine the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ, what he saw. And imagine the strength that was created within the Prophet ﷺ. That how he must have been created and born. This was the reality. Yes? That Sidratul Muntaha, before that he was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the universe recognized him as Muhammad. But after Sidratul Muntaha, his reality came into being. Understand this point that I'm saying. Sufis, connection with Allah. So that was the reality of Muhammadi. That was his reality that came into being. Subhanallah. That was his reality after Sidratul Muntaha. All the veils were removed. Eventually, what happened? Allah knows best, subhanAllah. For he saw with his eyes. And then, subhanAllah, the secret discussion. How long did it take place? How long did it last for? No one knows, because it was Allah and his beloved meeting. Yes? The beloved of Allah. And if you, for example, meet someone who is beloved to you, and you're detached from that person for some time, karabun kadamin, even they didn't know what's happening. Everything stopped at that time. No one was a witness. No one is aware what was discussion took place between Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah and His beloved, what they were talking about. Nobody knows. Imagine. So this is an event, a great event that took place, that was shared with us. That can anyone understand the status of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can anyone reach to that level? And how can we praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after knowing this? But those who are foolish and stupid, how do they praise? How do they recognize this event? Yes. Yeah, there was some poetry written by some people. Imagine their brains, their thinking. In other words, they were saying that the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that his status must be this, that he was introduced to Allah. That's it. Imagine. Is that where it finishes? Is that where it ends? Khalik is the Khalik and the Makhluk is the Makhluk. Allah is the creator. Abdahu. We worship him. Remember this. So that was his maqam. So this was the Khalik, Allah, and meeting with his Makhluk creation. But there's no one from the creation of Allah who is similar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What someone said, great, that Allah is the one and after him is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. So what we realize here is that the master of the two worlds sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his status, his glory, apart from Allah, nobody knows his status, his real status. Nobody is aware. Why? Because Allah created him in such a way, if we take the reference of Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, that no mother gave birth to a child like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hassan bin Thabit, he was the one who used to recite the nasheed, the nas, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Praise me, O Hassan, with your own words." So this is not praising that you connect him to Allah, or what happened that day, or wasteful talk. No, rather to the extreme. This is lowering the status of the Prophet when you're trying to conjure up thinking and meaning that's not there. From the makhluk, the maqam, the status of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah Ta'ala gave great qualities and characteristics to the Prophet ﷺ, unique from the rest of mankind. Because insan, no one can complain, criticize, because our mind, our intellect, our brains cannot reach to the status of the Prophet ﷺ. Nobody can describe how great he was. But he is makhluk, he is creation, because Allah Ta'ala created him. It's present in the hadith. This explanation, Khalik, Allah is creator, makhluk, the Prophet ﷺ is the creation. But unique versus the rest of the creation. So this is the great status of our Nabi, and this is the his status, that 124,000 prophets came, messengers came, with their qualities, with their status, all were connected to Allah, close to Allah. But Allah demonstrated the greatness of Muhammad ﷺ. So this is Mi'raj, the journey, the ascension to the heavens. and we read about it, we're aware of it, and our akal remains there, limited in our understanding. And this is the veil in our understanding. Now, the point is this, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was this Allah's objective only? That the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show this example of the journey that Allah met him. Now this humble servant considers that this is not the end that Allah ta'ala showed us Miraj. This is not his upper limit. He was even higher than this in status. He was higher than this in status. He was greater than this in status. Than just this one example of this event. Allah ta'ala just showed us a light, you could say a small portion, an example of his great status. Just a small example. It's just a little flash of light of the Prophet. But we get lost in this event and we think that Rasulullah was just here, be all and end all. Rather, this is just a flash, a little signal about how great he was. In reality, we don't know the reality of Miraj. This is Miraj, you think? This is the journey, that's it? My brothers, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, my eyes sleep, but my heart is alive. My eyes sleep, but my heart is alive. What does his heart do when it's alive? Tell me. Al-siratul mirajul mu'min. Al-salatul mirajul mu'min. Is this the case or not? That the mu'min, the believer, the Muslim, his miraj is salah. Salah, the mu'min. Me and you were mu'mins, aren't we? Believers? So the Holy Prophet, imagine his prostration. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the mu'min, the believer, if he when he prostrates, he's doing miraj and meeting Allah, then every prostration of the Prophet ﷺ was miraj. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is dalil, isn't it? Proof, this hadith shows. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ, when he did sajda without ziyara, do you think he did prostration without meeting Allah, without seeing Allah? Do you think he prostrated? Alama Sayyuti Rahmatul Alayh. He is the slave of the slave of the slaves of the Prophet ﷺ. That presence of the heart he attained. Allah gave presence of heart to Alama Sayyuti. That he was lost in the ziyarah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life. And he said, when I don't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my vision, then I consider myself as a disbeliever. Because this is presence of heart. Do you understand? This is the presence of heart. To do ziyarah. Be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is the glory of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That when the mu'min does miraj in sajda, then imagine the prostration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in every prostration he did miraj. Every prostration. So this is the thing we have to understand, that Allah ta'ala demonstrated miraj. This was just one example, one flash and one signal, one sign of the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and his status, and just one example of the magnificence of Allah. And it just didn't happen once. Many times over this must have occurred with the Prophet ﷺ and between him and Allah. So this is the connection between us and our Nabi. Allah says, this is the relationship that I just showed you. Why did Allah demonstrate this to us? Remember this point. Remember this point. Allah and his Habib ﷺ, the connection between Allah and his Prophet is immense, great, very great connection. Very private as well. No announcement, no advert, no publication. Allah Ta'ala said himself. Allah Ta'ala said himself when he created the universe. That Maqam Ahmadi, I took him to Maqam Muhammadi. And then, I created Muhammad, Allah said. I created Muhammad as my beloved. And I am the one who loves him and he is my beloved. So this is the reality of Muhammadi. This is the introduction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was his style was different. The way he was born, the way he was created, his connection with Allah is unique. Yes? Mawjudat. He is the source of, you could say, all of the greatness in the world, in the universe. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So behind this, what was the hikmah, the wisdom? Allah showed us the example, a demonstration of the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his presence in the universe and how Allah introduced his beloved to the universe and Allah Ta'ala invited him to the heavens. There is one reason for all of this, and remember this, to send the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the humanity, human beings. Allah said, oh my Habib, that my makhluk, creation in the world, through your intermediary, connect the creation to me. This is the power that Allah gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm sending you, my Habib, so you can connect mankind to me. Do you understand the point? Why would Allah send the Prophet ﷺ otherwise? What was the reason? And through your wasila, my Nabi Muhammad ﷺ, that the creation, human beings can reach to me. This is your objective. And this will be your ummah. This will be ummah that has no comparison to the previous ummah's nations. They'll be the greatest. It'll be ummah. No ummah. All the previous nations, followers of the prophets, they, subhanAllah, the anbiya, they will also be seeking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's intercession. Look at the rank Allah has given to us as an ummah. And on that, when we have been given the title of ummatis, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had so much love, so much love, so much love for his nation, followers that Allah ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, that will you give your all for your ummah? Your grief, so much love you got for your ummah, then their grief, you are getting overtaken by the grief of your ummah. Harisun alaykum. Haris, extremely concerned about his ummah, was our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine what Allah is saying in the Quran here. So much love. Allah said, you got so much love for your ummah, that I speak about you, and you speak about me, and your ummah, your nation. That your weak point, O Muhammad, is your ummah, your followers. When you'll be happy due to your ummah. And when I give you a reward, I bring your ummah in between. Ya salatu inna tayyatu assalamu alayka ayyuhu nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ibadullahi salihin. This is happening in Mi'raj. We got this gift. Say subhanallah. Do you understand the point? What is Mi'raj? You understand the point? Allah is saying, ayyuhu nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ibadullahi salihin. No, please, my ummah, the salih, the righteous, they will also do this action, Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mi'raj, the maqam where he's meeting Allah, they are in front of each other, in front of Allah, the Nabi is standing, look, encouragement, and who is he remembering? Me and you, the ummah. He wants us to benefit. He wants us to benefit. Asif Hussain Farooqi, this Darwish, this Fakir, Zakariya is being remembered, everyone in this ummah is being remembered. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is remembering us, affection for us. We are in his ummah. We should say alhamdulillah. So many ummatis have passed, and ibadullah salihin. Allah Ta'ala said, okay, you are saying the right thing here. So how do I make my Prophet happy here? And the subhanAllah's love for his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so immense. There's nothing that can compare. We cannot reach to that relationship. You can see this yourself. This is the splash example of the love that Allah Ta'ala sent Rasulullah to this universe. And when he was created, imagine what was the status of the universe when the Prophet was decorated in advance of the Prophet being created. Just like in one sign, the whole universe, Allah Ta'ala froze it. Allah Ta'ala decorated the heavens. So when the Prophet was born, imagine at that time the status of the universe at that time. The rejoicing, the happiness. You understand what I'm saying? At that time, what was the hal, the circumstance of the universe when Allah had to send the Prophet and make him apparent into the womb of Amina? SubhanAllah, imagine the status was Amina. Khaliq, makhluk. Allah is the creator, we are the creation. Say SubhanAllah. So here, after inviting the Prophet, and even then he's remembering us. And Rasulullah said that I love them and they love me. SubhanAllah. Allah said, I love you and you love me, but my Mahbub, I've called you, invited you. I've never invited anyone like you. You are my Nabi. All the other Nabis were mine. But I felt, Allah Ta'ala said, that I called you in front of me so that the dunya can bear witness that you have been invited. Today I removed the veil. SubhanAllah. Today I will tell you that what is the connection between me and you, Allah says. Yes? So no one should have any doubt. And Abu Jahl, they will continue to burn and be jealous after that. Sadiq will continue to be happy, and Abu Jahl will continue to burn. Oh, how can this be possible? Oh, how can it be? He went to the heavens, it's impossible. And there are people like that now. They're giving dalils, proof. Allahu Akbar, that use your brain intellect to recognize. We stood on that arrogance of akal. If only we had sat with Abu Bakr Siddiq, the people like who had his understanding, and the mashaykh. Because I can give dalil, I'm not just Sufi. Dalil is always from Quran and Hadith. Always from Quran and Hadith. Proof. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this was the great thing. Allah is calling, and Allah Ta'ala has love for his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then what's in between? Remember, it doesn't look good that when the Allah and his beloved are sitting and they're discussing, and then the beloved after that speaks about someone else, then Allah will say, you know, in the dunya, you could say two people have love for each other. When you bring a third party in, it's like interference. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, Subhanallah Ajeeb, my Mahbub, he's speaking about his ummah. Is there something lacking in the love? Subhanallah. But because he loves Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah loves the Prophet. So that weak point Allah understands that if to get more of his love, then I will give a method to make him happy. To get more love from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala, then use that method. So Allah said, I will adopt a different method, because he was saying, Ummah, I understand that if I do something for the Ummah, then the love will increase, then he'll forget his Ummah. Subhanallah. So there's a discussion taking place in the heavens. Allah and his servant. Time, there was no time at that time. Time had stopped. Time had frozen. When the discussion started, when the event started, time stopped. When the Prophet ﷺ came back, his bed was warm, the doors were still shaking, and the universe continued then the cycles of life. So when the meeting ended between Allah and his Habib, ﷺ, then Allah said, universe continue to exist, the Habib has come back. Say Subhanallah. Have you ever heard something like this regarding the Mi'raj? This understanding? Then Allah said that I can't just leave the situation like this. The Prophet, my Nabi, my beloved, is speaking about his Ummah, he's concerned. So Allah said, oh my Mahbub, has the Mi'raj taken place? Yes, the Mi'raj has taken place. Now the love should increase between Allah and his beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, go, then I'll tell you something. To make you happy, and please, your Ummah, I'll give you one gift for your Ummah. A gift. And this point is in your heart. You want something for your Ummah, and you want your Ummah to benefit. That the reward Allah gave to me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my Ummah should not remain empty-handed. At least they should also taste the enjoyment of that great meeting between Allah and his Rasul. This is the love that Rasulullah had for his Ummah. Allah is giving love to the Prophet, and the Prophet said, the enjoyment I'm getting here, I want my Ummah at least to benefit in some way, some form. He had concern for us. That was the great love that Rasulullah had for us. So Allah said, okay, fine. That same enjoyment will come to your Ummah. Same enjoyment. Will you be happy then? Then Rasulullah said, yes, I'll be happy, Allah. Allah said, okay, fine. As-salatum mirajul mu'min. Take this bundle of salah that I'm giving to you, my Habib, Allah said. Your every follower, ummati, every believer, five times I will apportion the time. The rest is up to him, how much he does prostration. When he prostrates and rubs his forehead on the ground, either he'll be seeing me or I'll be seeing him. That's the scenario. Every believer, when he is prostrating, he is in Mi'raj. This is a fact. The Quran and the Sunnah teaches us, do sajda, Allah says, prostrate to me and come close to me. According to your capacity and capability, you are in Mi'raj when you are prostrating, O believer. This is the status Allah has given to me and you. And this is the objective of Allah's, that Allah said, I want to please my Mahbub, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in this way. So first Allah called our Prophet, and the enjoyment of the discussion took place, the meeting, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ascended the heavens, and after doing everything, this bundle, this gift was given to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give to us. Subhanallah. Between Allah and his Habib, Allah showed us his greatness, the greatness of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the whole universe witnessed that. The objective, may I be sacrificed on Mi'raj, that Allah wanted to give to the Ummah this gift. That was the objective of this event. Otherwise this Mi'raj would not have taken place. Can it be? All of this event that took place, this silsila, this sequence was for the Ummah, for the nation. And in this way, Allah Ta'ala, to make his Habib happy, Allah gave to the Ummah, the Muslim, such a gift. Allah said, first I will be meeting you, my Nabi. After our meeting, I'll give you this present so that you can give this gift to your Ummah so you can be happy with them and I'll be happy with you. Radiallahu anhu. Otherwise, this could have been hidden as well forever. Thousands of mirages could have happened. Yes, there wasn't just one meeting between Allah and His Prophet, but this was the unique thing. So this thing that Allah Ta'ala gave to the Ummah, a great, unique, precious gift of Salah Allah gave to the Ummah, the followers of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala, because Salah is so great, an action, that's why Allah Ta'ala allowed this event to take place, a unique event, just to demonstrate the greatness of Salah. So in Salah, the human being remember, he can attain all success. Everything Allah Ta'ala has instilled into Salah, prayer. All success. There's a hadith. As a Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu narrates, first Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned, then he gave the answer himself. That every good deed alongside every good deed, three things run in parallel. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us this in this hadith. That whenever you do a good action, three things are associated with that. Three things. The root, how strong is your root of your action? The foundation. And that pillar, that piece of earth that you stood on, your action is stood on, and the roof that is covering it. So foundation, the ground, and the roof. For any good deed, this is the example. What is the foundation, the root? Just like you made this building, we're sat in a big masjid, engineers come, they don't just erect the building like that. There's the foundation, they look at the soil, the ground, then they put the engineers, architects, they make the foundations first, dig the ground, make it quite deep. Architect says, this building will be this tall, so you must dig ground this many meters wide and long, and then there'll be three floors or four floors above. So the real success of that building is the foundations. So the Prophet asked himself, then he gave the answer, shall I not tell you that any good deed, there are three things associated to any good deed. Yes, this is being told to us. We should understand now today from this knowledge of this hadith that all our actions are based on three things. So one is the foundation. You can't practice anything until your foundations are not strong, until you don't have the pillars that will stop the roof from collapsing. What do we call that? Technically, you could have the beams are above, but you have the ground, the groundworks, the pillars with the concrete. Yeah? So you have, that's necessary when you are erecting a building, constructing a building. And the third thing is the roof above, which is covering us, protecting us. That's the final, you could say, piece of the jigsaw when you're making a building. So every good deed, the Holy Prophet has given an example that what is the foundation, the root of every good deed? The foundation, the groundworks. And that is Islam, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam is the foundation. The more our Islam is strong, what is Islam? Amantu billahi wa malaikati wa kutubihi wa rasuli wal yawmil akhir. Our belief. That's the iman. Islam. Islam. So the more your Islam is strong on those things we say we believe, believing in Allah, the more I have strong belief in this, then more our deeds will be stronger and better. Good deeds. Yes, starts with salah or hajj or zakat or sadaqah. To elevate our Islam, we need the foundation. Stronger. How much belief and yaqeen do I have in the hereafter? آمنت بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر. And then all the shar and the good and the evil, we believe in all of these things. Not just to repeat this by mouth, this is for our deeds, that my belief is strong. How much do I believe in paradise, the hereafter, hell? When I believe in these things, then when the individual in that depth will start to practice the deeds. Otherwise, the actions, his good deeds will go to waste. So about that, after that is a greater thing. Yes. So first you have to then erect the building on the foundations. And so those pillars, it's the pillars that come out from the foundations around which the building is constructed. And it's stated the pillars of our deen is Salah that the Prophet ﷺ pulled from Miraj. Salah is not some small thing, it's not a small gift that's been given to our Prophet ﷺ. Ummah, is there some small gift that Allah Ta'ala gave to them? In Miraj al-Aqur, Rasulullah showed to the whole dunya, mankind, that hey, my beloved, take this gift for your ummah, for your nation. Imagine how happy the Prophet ﷺ was when he received this gift that my ummah is now succeeded. They have now reached, every ummati of mine will do sajda and do miraj. Imagine. Yeah, whether we do this or not, that's another matter. Run away from salah and leave that deed. So what Muslim will he be? What insan will he be? How will he be connected to Allah if he has no connection with Salah? Think about it for a few seconds. That woman and man, children, if they have no connection with Salah, then he's nothing at all. In the hadith it stated, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, that Allah has stated that my servant's connection, Allah called him to the heavens, and this whole scene unfolded, which is called Mi'raj, and we're so happy talking about it. We celebrate Mi'raj and Rajab, we think Allah Ta'ala showed him and showed the glory of the Prophet. In reality, Allah's Nabi Sallam's glory is higher than this. And Allah Ta'ala didn't establish Mi'raj for that reason, to show the stages of the Prophet. Allah Ta'ala established Mi'raj because he wanted to give salah to the Ummah. And that's what, and we put the veil on that. Just Mi'raj, we remember the story, Julus and conferences and fast will be kept, because today was Mi'raj of the Prophet. Wow, subhanAllah, what a great achievement. The Holy Prophet ﷺ status is higher than that. We cannot imagine what his status was, his title was, his rank was.
Kali zulfe zang gulabi mere nabi ki shaan hai.
So I'm reciting this from my mouth. For many days my heart was feeling, I was desperate that I could say such words that I'm satisfied. And then I'd toss and turn, I'd get up, my pen I'd pick up, then I put it down, I'd pick up, then I did dua and sajda. Allah Ta'ala, the jalsa's coming, the ijtama. Please allow me to write about the Prophet with my hands. I say, in my life, such beautiful words Allah Ta'ala granted to me that I wrote about in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did I write this naat? What was this? And imagine the depth of the meaning in this. Such tamshil of the explanation of the Holy Prophet. I'm amazed myself that I wrote these words. I'm amazed myself.
Kali zulfe zang gulabi mere nabi ki shaan hai.
MashaAllah. So Allah Ta'ala's praise of the Prophet, he wasn't white, he wasn't dark red, but when, for example, in the milk you mix the redness, the beautiful black hair, beautiful black locks, and that beautiful texture, that complexion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed face.
Kali zulfe zang gulabi mere nabi ki shaan hai. और सुरमई आँखियों पे, अब आगे देखें क्या तमसील आ रही है, शायद है आपको, सुरमई आँखियों पे पलकों के झालर.
I maybe stayed awake for 4 nights. The how can I praise the beautiful eyes and the lashes of the Prophet ﷺ? Thousands of poets came, because I'm a poet, but I wasn't satisfied with the wording. But when these words came, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, many nights after trying, that my heart was rejoicing, that never in my poetry before that, never did I praise, anywhere did I find any praise like this of the Prophet's eyes. Unique, unique praise.
Kali zulfe zang gulabi mere nabi ki shaan hai.
In the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it looked like automatically the beautiful surma had been applied. It's like I'm seeing it now that I'm describing.
Surmai aankhiyon mein palkon ke jhalar, are is husn pe alam kurban hai.
So we say Mi'raj is about the journey of the Prophet to meet Allah. But real point that Allah Ta'ala gave, the real gift that Allah gave, was Salah on the Mi'raj that Allah gave. And we put the veil, we hide Salah from our lives. Everything is present in Salah.
Kali zulfe, pardon shayri kada pusam. Kali zulfe zang gulabi, gulabi ka bada maza aata hai.
So some people say he was like white, he was light, but imagine you put the rose color into the milk.
Kali zulfe rang gulabi are mere nabi ki shaan hai subhanallah peshani pe noor ki barish
hai hai.
Imagine the meaning of this. That on his forehead there was noor and light.
Peshani pe noor ki barish aur tabassum naaze bahara. I can't believe I can say these things.
Myself, I cannot believe that I wrote these words of praise about the beauty of the Prophet. I'm a poet myself. On his forehead, blessed forehead, the noor, and his smile was the example I've given, that in his smile, all of the springs and the light, they are proud of the smile of the Prophet. They imagine everything stood back from the universe, the spring and the beauty of the universe. That look at the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ's smile itself, incomparable.
Peshani pe noor ki barish subhanallah aur tabassum naaze bahara.
So the next verse, if you listen, the same
paikar insani mein pay kare insani mein rab ke jalwon ki elan hai.
That in the body of the human beings, amongst the human beings, Allah has given the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a human being, but Allah Ta'ala's, he is the sign of Allah Ta'ala's magnificence. He is the demonstration of Allah Ta'ala's power. Every part of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us the demonstration of Allah's brilliance. And this is, you think, his beauty from one miraj? Subhanallah. His body, his life is demonstrating to us about the greatness of Allah. Do you understand this? Yes. So how beautiful a line this is. How beautiful a poem this is. That, colleagues, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to this world as a human being to show us and demonstrate to us the greatness of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's tajaliyat, His brilliance, His glory was shared with us. So we are grateful to Allah. Such a nasheed Allah has allowed me to write, subhanallah. And inshallah today you'll understand it. Maybe that day you didn't understand, but today you understand some points. And there was another verse after that. Anyhow, alhamdulillah. So this is the beauty of the Prophet. Imagine his beauty. These are just some lines. So that you can listen to the na'at. Inshallah, mashallah, the colleagues, they've uploaded the na'at. So my brothers, the real objective of Miraj, the message that Allah wanted to give to us is Numa, is about salah, prayer. The master of the two was amazing. Allah didn't want to show his beauty. He went to the heavens. He saw these prophets. I called him and he did Miraj. That Miraj is there. Allah Ta'ala's demonstration of the greatness of the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah didn't need a Miraj. Many Mirages we can say for the Prophet ﷺ did with Allah. But the real objective, to Allah Ta'ala made his Habib ﷺ happy by giving him the gift of Salah. That's why Allah Ta'ala called Rasul Sallam, to make him happy. And he gave that gift. And what is the hal of the ummah? No, if I pray Salah, then I can't work. Imagine, Allah is saying about a person like that who doesn't pray, it is a hadith. That person who does not pray Salah, then he is not valued Salah. What does Allah say? That me and that person, there's no connection between me and that person. Now imagine this. Sahih Mishkat hadith, respected scholars are here. Ask them. Read that hadith yourself. Allah says, I have no concern with a person who doesn't pray salah. You can call what you want to yourself, him or her, whatever they say. But Allah Ta'ala says that I called my Nabi and I gave a gift to him to give to you. Salah. 5 times salah and adhan was ordained. And you have no value for this. No care for this. I, for the sake of my mahbub, he asked for something for his ummah and I gave 5 times salah. No other maqam has been given to any ummah. that you in salah will see me, and I will either you will see me or I will see you, Allah says. In salah, tell me. And you are rejecting that deed that Allah has given. You are leaving that deed of salah and you want promotion in the dunya. You want to expand your business. You want to expand your trade, your profit. Your life will increase, you think, and amarat will come. Allah says, Allah is the Malik, He's the owner. Allah says, I have no concern with you. And then here again in this hadith, then listen, that when the difficulties come after that, the problems that will come, that you think is happiness, is not happiness. That is the glass of poison. It won't be bank balances. There will be scorpions and serpents and snakes in the dunya. Then don't run back to me. I have no concern with you, Allah says. And alongside that, the words is stated totally, this will be my justice. I will not give you good treatment. And definitely you will get the hardships without the prayer in your life. Whatever happens with you after that, when you don't pray. And oh my children, I've got problems. The biggest zalim oppressors are those mothers and fathers when their children don't pray salah and they don't look after them. They don't remind them. They have no love for their children. Because they don't have belief in Allah. They don't believe in the punishment. So I swear by Allah, in no way in the dunya can you be successful. If we think that success, it is not success. It is just a mirage, a dream. Cry, cry, plead when you see your children, that where are my children going? Just like your children are burning in the fire. Today you say, oh no, I try my best. I tell my children, but no, listen to me, what can we do? If they are burning in the fire, your child, how much will you try that hard that time? That mother, tell me, how hard will that mother try? If she sees her children burning in the fire, she'll try so hard to extract the children. Mother who has most love for her children. That mother will say, I tell my children, but what can we do? They don't listen to me. Oh, my son, have a paratha for breakfast. Oh, he'll pray tomorrow, inshallah. Does she not know? At that time, Allah and the Prophet ﷺ said from His blessed tongue, in front of you, your children, that when the child will be put into the burning fire, and the dunya, Allah will give the punishment. Allah says, this will be my justice. If I don't give you the punishment, then it's away from my justice. Pick the hadith up and read it. Such a great deed, salah, that we have just put to the side and kicked it into touch and made it a routine miraj. And in miraj, we talk about it and put the lights on and sway, rejoice, talk about miraj. Allah has no concern. Allah says, understand the message of miraj. The message of miraj. Do you understand now what is miraj? Do you understand? Don't oppress yourself. Don't do zulm on your own selves and your children and your families. Save them just like you are saving someone from the burning house. You're saving them from hell. Those salahs, you leave salah. If your children or your family or relative is working, what does Allah say? He has destroyed that individual. I don't destroy that person in the world, if I don't annihilate that person, Allah says, who doesn't pray salah, if I don't take the punishment, give that punishment, then Allah says, that's injustice in my own eyes. Allah is saying, this is my justice that I punish that person on planet earth to wipe that person away who doesn't pray salah. Rahmatul lil alameen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mercy to the universe, from his blessed tongue, the words may seem weird. He said, Bilal shall I call him, who calls the adhan. And find the wood, the firewood, and set the house on fire in which those people do not leave the house to pray salah. Set the house on fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Reality, mother and father, they don't love their children. They don't love their children. They think, oh, they're earning and they're doing good things. And you think that's love, that's zulm. Oppression, you are oppressing your children on your offspring. And you think they are promoting, advancing in the world, job, career, taxi, money, bank balance. You think this is success? Change your direction of life. And I give the message of hatred to them. Dislike them. Stop their food. Stop looking at the face. Such wife and children, separate yourself from them. Yes, can there be a wife who doesn't pray salah? Separate yourself from her then. Why? Because she will give you dirty offspring. Those who don't pray salah. Such homes don't eat the food in which the woman doesn't pray salah. Don't eat the pious predecessors. They don't eat the food from the hands of that woman. They say, throw that chapati away. Throw that bread away. Such a great action Allah gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. to give, demonstrate the glory, the beauty, the brilliance of his Habib. Otherwise, why did Allah Ta'ala need to call the Prophet to demonstrate his greatness? This was a secret between Allah and his Mahbub. He didn't need to show us the event of Miraj. Just for this reason, the whole world can realize that how Allah gave this gift to the Prophet, the Salah. That what is the glory of this Ibadah, Salah, that I'm doing? Do you understand what is Salah, the importance now? Yes. Such that we leave prostration, Allah is guaranteed that you are seeing me and I'm seeing you in prostration. And you are leaving prostration to earn money, I give curses on that earning. Curses on the earning. Allah is saying that earning, due to earning, you leave salah, I will destroy you and your offspring and your life. Then who will be saved? Will that mother save that child? She says, no, I'm trying my best. I tell my children, but they don't listen. One day, he's very pious, good child. He listens to everything I say, salah. Oh, no, namaz. He'll pray one day, inshallah, salah. 1 hour, she's praising her children. Practically, I'm telling you, real life. My child is so good. My son, he's very nice. He's tender. He's innocent. He does good things. He goes to work. MashaAllah, good career, good job. Does he pray salah? Oh, no. Oh, don't tell me about salah. I try to tell him. I explain to him, but he doesn't want to listen. Oh, astaghfirullah. 7 years old child, just like we're being alerted in Rajab in advance, 2 months in advance for Ramadan. Allah says, 7 years old, your child becomes in age, make him alert about Salah. 7 years old, first, and show him the direction to the mosque at 7 years old. 7 years old. Yes, start to give the direction, remind the child. This is justice with the child. This is not injustice. Oh, why didn't you go to school? Why didn't you learn computing, programming? Why didn't you do your homework? And dunya, we're very upset with the children when they don't do work of the dunya, homework, school. Allah says, for me, ummah, why is it destroyed today? Why is the ummah destroyed today around us? Because we don't pray salah. Salah, how we've treated salah. Mystery, even if we pray, subhanallah. A unique hadith is coming to my mind. This hadith here just came to my mind. That every individual, especially salah, with regards to salah and deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, how will Allah reckon and account for our deeds? How? إِلَّا بِقَدْرِ أَقْلِهِ. That all the understanding and concentration and focus, the high level he does action and salah. For example, according to the Allah says, I will give you the reward. The focus, the attention. You can wear disbeliever clothes and come in different appearances. The whole masjid is full. See tomorrow in Jummah. The people who are opposed to Islam, you come dressed like them, look like them, and you're prostrating to Allah. Tell me, how can this be? And that, for example, we come to Allah's house and we're stood in Allah's house. We challenge Allah openly that we love the way against you. Allah says, follow my Mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who Allah Ta'ala loved him so much and praised him. We've forgotten him. We're doing sajda and we're making a fuss that we won't dress like you, look like your Mahbub. We will dress and look like those who are opposed. And they give fatwas. No, it's jais, it's permissible today. It's too hard to practice deen. Our ulama, respected scholars, give fatwas that is permissible. It's jais. What can we do? We're forced to. It's too hard. It's not strict Islam. At least he's praying salah, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says, this is salah. You think you're favoring me with your salah? Yeah? And you're just rejecting what I'm saying? Allah says, I get rid of your salah. I have no need for your salah when you pray like this. Oh, at least he's praying something. At least he comes to the masjid. You think you're favoring Allah just by coming? If you want to work, work properly. Work properly, Allah says. Fully. If you want to do any deed, then consider what you're doing with your aqal and your understanding. Learn it. What action you're doing? How are you implementing this deed of salah? With which brains and understanding and mindset are you doing this? Oh no, I heard a fatwa of a scholar. Every scholar is saying nowadays, I can dress like this. Sunnah and Sharia, when you contaminate the fatwas with Sunnah and Sharia, don't wander around like foolish people and accept all the fatwas you hear. This is the fitna era we're in. Remember this. We're in the day and age of fitna. That extract your practice from Quran and Hadith. Sunnah is what should dictate your practice. Yes? Just running shops and businesses, we get fatwas, and we want to follow our whims and desires and our nafs. Because the committee, I don't want to upset the committee in the masjid if I say the truth. Maybe my words are bitter, this humble servant's words are bitter, possibly. But they are the true vitamins, the pills. They make the eyes wide open and alert to the reality. So this is Mi'raj. The real Mi'raj demands what? Salah from our lives. Salah. Salah is the message of Mi'raj. And this, we just leave Salah, we celebrate Mi'raj, the Prophet went to Bayt al-Maqdis, to the heavens. Every moment of his life he was doing this. Every moment he was connected to Allah. Every second of his life was Mi'raj. We don't need to remember that event. Yeah, that's no point. Just one example Allah showed. For this reason, Allah wanted to give a package, physical, to the Ummah via the Prophet ﷺ. Allah made his Nabi happy that, hey, I give this gift to your Ummah. Do you understand the point? Yes, become human beings. Don't reject Salah. Don't make Salah a toy. Allah has told us that he who stands, then I will do justice with him, not to dhulam. If he doesn't pray Salah, then will I not destroy that person? Will I oppress that person? I will wipe him away in the face of this dunya. That, because then that's injustice if I don't give the punishment, Allah says. That's actually injustice if I don't punish. So Allah says, this is my justice, that when a person doesn't pray Salah, then see how I mete out the justice for that person. In his homes they'll be destroyed, in their own homes. If you want to please the people of the world, fine. If you want to glow and expand your business, fine. Whatever you want to do for success in the world, but do it in the way Allah wants, the way that Allah likes. And include Salah in all facets of your life. Include Salah in all sectors of your life. Barakah will come. Blessings will come. Allah will be happy with you, whatever you're doing in the world. Light will come out from your Salah and impact all your deeds. Salah, do you think it has just one value? Its value is so vast. Allahu Akbar, just to say that in the beginning of Salah is immense indeed. We don't even understand. One and every action of Salah has all come from the heavens. The Mufti didn't say stand and make niyah, say Allahu Akbar. Where did all these deeds come? From the heavens. And Allah gave this practice to his Habib, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? To make him happy, that my Habib become happy now with this gift of Salah to give to your Ummah. And you're happy with that. And when I grace your Ummah, then you'll be happy, my Habib. So here's the gift. Oh, subhanAllah. Oh, he could have just carried on a Mi'raj journey. But this was, Allah said, I want to give the reward. But this is how your Ummah is treating Salah. Allah's Nabi Sam then raised his hand and said, no, Allah, please, I'm detached from such people who lead the Salah. So will we pray Salah from today? 5 times a day? Everything rejected the time of Salah. Put your hands up if you promise. Let me see who's got the passion in his heart for Salah. MashaAllah, well done. That's it, end of story. This is the glory of a Muslim, Jazakallah. This is the life of a believer, is to pray Salah. Leave, I'm sick, or if you're upset, you got an emergency, fine, there's an excuse there. Allah knows, you got an emergency, you're weak, or you're sick, you can't come to congregation, Jamaat. Okay, but the rest of the time, must come. Yeah, you should be desperate. The person should be like he's dying. Run to the house of Allah to pray Salah. Because Salah, we cannot complete. We cannot give the justice to Allah. We are just going to present a physical form of Allah. We've come to your house. We're raising our hands, saying Allahu Akbar. We're not actually reading Salah, that the rights that are due to Salah. But Allah likes just that, what we're doing, and Allah accepts that. Allah accepts that. Yes, Allah Ta'ala said that the action, the task of ordained, given to you, responsibility, the mu'min, what you should do in his life, just start doing the action physically. Submit and bow. Your salah, you need to keep on improving it, trying and improving it. Just try, make the effort. That believer is not a believer who does not stay in his life in the effort that today my salah should be better than my salah yesterday. Today's asr should be better than my previous asr, then I enjoy it. And my mind wasn't going, that I need to develop my thinking in Salah. Every believer in the world today should have this worry, that the amount of worry I put in increasing and improving my Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm giving you a statement, listen to this statement carefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that human being, Allah in his earnings, in his wealth, in his money, in his children, will have concern that how do I give improvement in this person's quality of life? Allah will give that. In this side, you are responsible for your salah. Allah says, leave all the rest to me in your life. I'll give you beautiful life. But we get scared. Oh, stupid people. Are you without an assistant? Your wali, your helper is nobody. You think Allah is not your helper? Allah is not your assistant. You think there's nobody above you? Allah is watching over you and me and all of us. You understand the point? Yes. Salah. You work hard on salah. You promise to improve your salah. Yes, when you call someone to pray Salah, this is a basic element of deen. My invitation is different. I say, let Salah every moment of the day have concern, not on praying. I will increase it, improve the quality of my Salah. Allah loves that mu'min who plans this hadith I just shared with you. إلى يوم القيامة. What was that hadith? Just the hadith I shared with you a little while ago. What was that hadith? إلا بقدره. The akal of the person, the brain of a person, the mind of a person. The more you work hard and think and have concern and worry, you want to improve my prayer and improve its quality. I don't want to think about dunya, I want to focus. The conclusion will arise that you aren't even going to prostration and you will see Allah even before that in your salah. Guarantee. This is the main thing for a believer, to connect with Allah. People go in sajda and they die. Why do they die? Because they don't want to get up from prostration. Their life ends. They've arrived to their maqam, their station. How great if you die in prostration, eh? How great. Imagine. Do you want to die in prostration? If you want to die in prostration, put your hand up. You have that desire. Look at that. MashaAllah. You have that desire. Then start working hard in it. Make effort. Not just pray, Salah, get out of the masjid. Think. Concern. Bow your head down. That today I prayed Salah. Ya Allah, I didn't enjoy my Salah today. I didn't get a buzz. My next prayer should be greater buzz. Greater buzz. Shall I continue? Or are you tired now? Are you tired? We're talking about miraj, isn't it? Salah, the meeting with Allah. That miraj. Yes, that you just eat halwa, pilau, ladoos. Look, miraj, our prophets went on a journey, went to the heavens, met the prophets, the abidatis, the innovation, they don't believe this, don't believe that. And we think this is miraj? Or they don't believe this, they're innovators, they don't talk about this. Are you mad? This is not the message. The real point, we should come towards that. Yes, so mashallah, I recited a few verses of this poem about the glory of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, the whole nasheed, listen to it online, understand the message. Inshallah, next time I'll recite the whole nasheed, the whole naat. Pray that a more beautiful, excellent naat I can write about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To this extent I said, that final verse was, that I cannot dare with my pen to write about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at that great verse. The pen, it will run out of ink. What can I write after this? What is left after that? So my brothers, my colleagues, what should we be concerned about in our life? Every believer should be worried every second of his day how to improve salah. Not praying salah. That's a separate issue. Because that's our life. That's our basis of our life. But how do I improve my salah? Today we haven't done that up till now. Don't say, but take bad what I'm saying. Yes, so I prayed. Oh, have you prayed salah? Yeah, I prayed. Oh, yeah, I prayed. Yeah, just go there and pop our heads up and down. We're just like monkeys and animals. No. No, if we don't enjoy salah before, then enjoy it more in the next salah, in the sajda, the prostration in the ruku, with satisfaction, wearing the clothes of sunnah, and apply the fragrance, the scent to your body, nice wudu, excellent wudu, use the miswak on your teeth, and wear the white clothes, wear the turban, amama, you're preparing for salah. Do you understand? You're not praying. You're praying. No, yeah, it's not necessary. It's a minor. It's not wajib. It's not necessary. We don't have to follow the sunnah. This is not, if you are an ashik lover of the Prophet, then don't play games. Don't play games. Everything that the Prophet Muhammad liked is essential for us. Rasulullah used to eat meat with potatoes, then it's fard on us to do that. Example, for example. Why? Why? The Prophet, the beloved of Allah, used to eat fish, then we will eat fish and nothing else. We love the fish. Just an example. Why? Because he ate it. This is the way of the lovers. The Sahaba. Rasulullah used to eat what? Like the pumpkin. All the Sahaba used to seek out the pumpkin. The vegetables that the Prophet, my beloved, the Prophet used to eat this. We'll also eat the same. This is the true examples I'm giving to you. Physical. They always, the Sahaba said, what is our beloved Prophet doing to him? He likes these prices or this food. We will eat this. Yeah, even if we get a cold or tears come from my eyes, oh, we'll keep on eating, we'll have the spices, no problem. Yes, and he's eating that food. And the Sahaba eating, they're following, they're imitating. Because the Prophet doesn't like that food. Say Subhanallah. So will we make our basis of life the way of the Prophet, and whatever Allah, the beloved of Allah, the Prophet liked, we will like, whatever he liked to eat, we will eat. Whatever he liked to do, we will do. No? That's it. So if you love someone, then you look at his lifestyle. When does he drink tea? What biscuits does he eat with the tea? How does he dip the biscuits in the tea? Then he brings that into his life. That my sheikh did this, I want to follow my teacher. Or my beloved did this. So our first step is the sheikh in the journey to Allah. And if we don't imitate the sheikh and we're not immersed in our sheikh, then how will we go further? How will we reach to the Prophet ﷺ? First look at your sheikh. What does he eat, drink? What does he do? What coffee does he drink? What food does he like? How does he move? What does he utilize in his food? My sheikh's every action I learnt, I realized my sheikh Hazrat Sahib liked ananas. Ananas. The whole Makkah, I used to seek that. This was my ibadah. This was my worship. What's my sheikh doing? I said, I'm just praying salah. Now all my time I'll spend. Now where can I get this fruit from? From my sheikh. It was my beloved, my sheikh used to eat this. So if you love your teacher, then you will get something in exchange in it. And then beautiful box I put in front of Hazrat Sabah to present it. And he'd smile and look at me that I've bought that what he likes. So many examples like this, I used to see my sheikh and imitate what he liked. And nobody else knew, because I knew what it is. That whatever your beloved is likes and is happy with, just take that path. Follow that path. That's his weak point, your teacher. So I understood that how to please my sheikh, my teacher. Allah Ta'ala has also given us, says, my Mahbub, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how will he be happy? He will be happy that take the Oman Miraj. This was it, wasn't it? So Allah said, I'll do the same. Every ummati, 5 times a day, you can do Miraj. Are you happy now, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, Allah, I'm happy. And he came down to earth with that package of that gift. That's where he received that gift. And this is, he didn't just come after the Miraj empty-handed. Rasulullah came back with the salah, with the gift. That just like you are happy by seeing me, O my Nabi, then Rasulullah said, I want to be happy in the same way, O Allah, when I take this package to the Ummah. This is Miraj. Say Subhanallah. The rest, the Prophet went on a journey. What happened? This is nothing. This is a shortcut explanation about the Prophet. In reality, is much greater than that. Now, we can't talk about Miraj. He went on the journey in heavens. He went to see this Prophet. He spoke to the Prophet. That this was his status every day. We can never arrive to his meeting with Allah. What happened? What was discussed? This was the message for us. Salah. You understand what I'm saying up to now? So what do we need to now? Salah. The believer needs to assess his prayer. Work hard on your prayer. Observe it. How do I improve my prayer? So to improve prayer, that's why a person runs after a teacher, guidance, then he finds and knocks at the door of a sheikh. The Hazrat, I've come. Why have you come? I want to improve my salah, teacher. Come inside, my student. Welcome. And I will improve your salah, says the teacher. This is the connection between the sheikh and the murid. Oh, don't come to get kashf and dreams and miracles and khalafa. They're just empty boxes, stay empty. Why have you come? Oh, my sheikh, I want to learn how to prostrate. Please teach me. This is the desire that you should express to your sheikh, your teacher. I, subhanAllah, Allah wanted to maybe take some work with the deen from my mouth. In the first meeting with my sheikh, I said this. Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh said that you cannot leave here. You have to leave with this explanation and understanding. My body, I didn't recognize, no meeting. I knew nothing before meeting my teacher for the first time. I was from a non-stranger land. He said, who are you? My sheikh asked me, where have you come from? He said in his dialect. Yeah? That this was his taqliya karam, mashallah, the kiyana. That what do you want? Why have you come to me? Hazrat said, oh, I want taweez, I want a dream, or I want a dua. No, I didn't say that. The Hazrat Sahib said, you are the first person who's come to me and said these words that I like. That he didn't look at my face, my clothes, my sins, nothing at all. He said, you cannot leave my sitting now with me. Zuhr time you've come, you will leave in the evening. Well, I won't lift, stand up from here, nor will you, until I don't introduce you and you don't meet Allah. Subhanallah, my sheikh said this. You've come for this purpose. So everything, there's a method, a way when you go to a person, a respected person. Why have you gone there? Why are you requesting? You go to ask for small things in a great, great company. Small, small things you're asking for. And you should go and ask for, look, according to your status, you should ask for better. Today, if you ask that, then mashallah, that color is spread around the whole world. I learned how to speak about what is salah. That from then until now, I'm trying the same effort. Yes? So Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh said, you will take this gift with you before our meeting finishes, then you know the best that when he will allow you to have a beard and follow the deen. I have no concern with that. Whatever you ask from me now, then before our meeting ends, you will attain that. You cannot get up until you get this. And then the salah, next salah came, then the door shut, then the salah came, the door shut. And people think, what's this drama taking place here? Who is this individual who's come here who has, Hazrat Sahib has caught him and got him here? It was the ashiks, they stand up, then and all the other follower students. They, Hazrat Sahib, that he's come here from away, another country, hasn't got a beard. What's Hazrat Sahib doing sitting with him? Who is this individual? They didn't recognize me at that time. They didn't know who I was. When I left that room, so a whole gathering, such a big gathering, was stood there, mufti, scholars, big gathering, Hazrat Sabed. And I was stood there, and Hazrat Sabed raised my hand and said that what he came to ask for, he has attained that. Yep, was I asked such a thing that Hazrat Sabed liked when I asked that. What was that asked for? Salah, please, I want to learn Salah. I want to learn how to prostrate. I want to pray 5 times Salah. I have come from a dirty environment. I live in England. I'm from Manchester. Manchester, I'm a Manchester, isn't it? I'm from Manchester. That dirty place this individual's come from. I went to my teacher. I didn't ask for nothing else. What a discussion on the banks of the ocean. If you can't go into the water and clean the dirt, then what is the lesson you're going to learn? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're stood on the bank of the river, the ocean, and you're dirty and pure with the dirty clothes, and you go into the ocean and the ocean doesn't clean you, then what is that sheikh when a sinful student's there and he immerses himself in this company and he doesn't get clean? How can it be? He cannot be a sheikh. But it's on the niyyah, the intention of the student, on what you're asking for, your sincerity. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's it. So go to the court, the door of a wali Allah, knock on that door, spread out your request that please teach me, Shaykh, how to improve my salah. Teach me how to prostrate. I am so thirsty that my salah improves. That's it. One desire upon the other. Just one desire you have for salah, Allah will complete all your other desires of life behind salah. Do you understand everything? Have you understood, Ilyas? Good, mashallah. And how should we be grateful to Allah? Dhikrullah. That's it. Allah Ta'ala is, how is He happy? When we are grateful, through His dhikr, remembrance. What a great statement. Whenever you want to make Allah happy, what should you do? Do dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. Allah will start to become happy. The rest, your salahs, if you want to improve your prayer, if you've got connection with the teacher, then that connection you have with the teacher, the ta'aleem, the education your teacher has given, footstep by footstep, follow the teacher. Remember this. Then you will be the true student. Fisilmi kaffa. Wholeheartedly enter. If 1 inch you should be not left or right, you have to sacrifice things in the world, give them. My sheikh said, don't do this, I won't do this. My teacher said, this is haram, I won't do this, prohibited. My sheikh said, don't do this amal, don't do that. The more you sacrifice your deeds in life on the education of your teacher, the more you'll be elevated and increase in your rank and status. That the right place you've arrived to, the right environment, the more you go to the right, the more your tawakkal and reliance on Allah will increase. Your strength of iman will increase. Allah is the one who gives. Allah is the one who's a razik. He is the one who gives money, house, business, trade, money. Everything Allah gives. Everything. There's no power in the world apart from Allah who can give us what we need in the world. But make Allah happy first, my friends. Understand? Any mistake I've made, please forgive me. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. This majlis, I enjoyed it a lot today, this gathering, because we spoke about Miraj, the meeting of Rasulullah with Allah, and the glory of the Prophet. To speak about his glory is a great, great deed. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Okay?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidi al-mursaleen. Shafi'i al-muslimin. Taha al-tahirin. Al-habib al-ameen. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وأسيه مع المؤمنين وزرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا عصرنا وجهلنا خطأنا مدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع رب العالمين يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم نسلك صحة عفة أمانة حسن خلق رضا بالقدر اللهم نعوذ من شقاق النفاق وسوء الاخلاق اللهم نسلك الافلا في المفات في دين الدنيا اللهم نسلك الهدى والتقى والعفاء والغنى يا رحيم الراحمين ربنا حملنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحبه وزواجه وذرياته أهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله آمين.